Hello, and thanks for joining us for our special Chicago Tonight coverage of the Democratic National Convention. I'm Brandis Friedman. Day two of the convention is here, and Chicago's own Barack Obama is set to headline. But the former president and former First Lady Michelle Obama aren't the only Illinois Democrats in the spotlight tonight. Governor J.B. Pritzker is also on the list of tonight's speakers. So to begin tonight, we go inside the United Center, where it is getting a little bit louder. Amanda Venicky is kicking off our coverage there. Hey, Amanda.
Hey, Brandis, and as I speak with you, the convention is literally just now beginning for its second night. As you noted, the former president is expected to speak, and that has Illinois delegates excited because many of them consider him to be an acquaintance, even a friend. And also, then, Governor J.B. Pritzker will be giving a primetime address. He's expected to focus on the economy. We'll hear from him, as well as State Party Chair, State Representative Lisa Hernandez, during a ceremonial roll call when Illinois is going to be pledging all of its delegates to Kamala Harris. Now, Pritzker's Think Big America also, like a lot of the big donors, has a suite that they can gather, enjoy some food, drinks, watch the speeches with a really good view. Think Big America is the governor's National Political Action Committee dedicated to advancing reproductive rights. He's given a whole lot of his personal fortune to that. It has been 2 years since the Dobbs decision overturned Roe, and Democrats say that it is something that still resonates with voters.
Republicans are out for control. They believe that a woman should stay in her place, barefoot, pregnant, with limited options, limited choices, and limited hope for a life of her own choosing. And we're not going to stand for it, are we?
For many people, including elected officials, this is a very personal issue. State Treasurer Mike Frericks shared something that he's talked about before, and that is that he has a pair of one-year-old twins that were born via IVF. But this morning he told the Illinois delegation something that he says he's never talked about in public before. And that was that when his wife was 4 months pregnant, they learned from a doctor that unfortunately their child was growing without a brain. The physician recommended terminating the pregnancy, but he said two hospitals in central Illinois refused to perform an abortion.
Because what those hospitals and their boards of directors who made this policy are saying, my wife knew her child, our child, could not survive outside the womb. But they would force her to carry to term for 9 months, deal with all the risks of pregnancy, dealing with the pain of knowing I'm going through all of this, and it will be bear a stillborn child or one that dies soon afterwards. That is cruel.
Assistant House Majority Leader Jahan Gordon Booth says in this regard, this isn't a matter of choice. Abortion is health care.
Often forgotten as it relates to abortion care being health care is what happens when a woman finds herself with child, and as much as that child may be wanted, desired, and even prayed for, that child in utero is putting that mother's health at risk.
Gordon Booth is from Peoria, where in May a new Planned Parenthood clinic opened after a man admitted to firebombing it last year. Now, while it is clearly their evidence that is a controversial issue, Democrats say that really abortion and reproductive rights should be considered a pocketbook issue as well.
No, focus on reproductive rights is the economy. For women to be able to work, for women to be able to take care of our children, for us to be able to put food on the table, reproductive rights and the ability to decide what's best for our bodies is an economic issue.
Now, Illinois Democrats often use actual tropical metaphors when talking about Illinois' role in providing abortions. They say that Illinois is an island in the Midwest, an oasis, and increasingly the state is being a place that serves residents from states where abortion bans are in place.
Please welcome Josh.
We are very fortunate to have investment from all levels of government in Illinois, which is very rare because Illinois doesn't want to just create conditions for people to come here. It wants to make sure that not only people of means can access them.
I pledge allegiance.
The Chicago Abortion Fund, since that Dobbs decision, it has committed more than $7.5 million paying for travel costs and other abortion expenses for those who need to come to Illinois for them. Also this week, during the Democratic National Convention, Planned Parenthood has a mobile clinic. I am told that yesterday 10 vasectomies were performed, and today they were on target to give out abortion pills or medical abortions to 10 patients. By the way, you can also check out an article that we have up online. Illinois Right to Life upset with Cardinal Blaise Supich for last night giving an invocation here at the Democratic National Convention. The Cardinal didn't talk or touch on abortion. In fact, he said he previously was a fan of the Dobbs decision, but Right to Life saying that he shouldn't be here at all given abortion's role in the Harris platform. Back to you.
Amanda, thanks. And of course, we'll check back in with you later in the program. Now, when Republicans gathered in Milwaukee, we took a detailed look at what it would mean for Chicagoans if Donald Trump wins another term as president. As Democrats gather at the United Center for the second night of their convention, we examine what it'll mean if Kamala Harris wins the White House. Our Heather Sharone joins us now from just outside the United Center. And Heather, you know, it took Mayor Brandon Johnson just an hour to back Vice President Harris after President Joe Biden backed out of the race. Tell us why.
Well, for Brandon Johnson, this prospect of another Trump presidency has always posed an existential threat to Chicago and its residents, who, of course, are two-thirds Black and Latino. So if Kamala Harris was President Joe Biden's choice to replace him on the Democratic ticket, then Brandon Johnson said, that's great, let's get behind her. And we heard last night that it's also personal for him. He has a 10-year-old daughter, Brayden, and he knows how powerful it will be for so many Black women and girls in Chicago to see the first Black woman elected president of the United States.
Both Johnson and Harris, Heather, belong to the more progressive wing of the Democratic Party. What would that mean for Chicagoans?
Well, at a minimum, it means that when Brandon Johnson calls the White House, somebody's going to call him back and at least listen to what he says the city needs. Now, it does not mean that Chicago is going to get a blank check or that the federal government is prepared to swoop in and help the city when it confronts what is sure to be burgeoning crises in the years ahead. But at least if it is Harris in the White House and not Trump, Brandon Johnson's going to have at least a couple cell phones that he can call in his time of need.
At least a couple cell phones, maybe some landlines. After decades, Heather, Chicago is finally on the brink of breaking ground on the extension of the Red Line south to 130th Street. What would a Harris victory mean for that project?
Well, a Harris victory would mean that this project would almost certainly finally break ground in 2025. This was a project first proposed back in the 1950s by Mayor Richard J. Daley, and it will get off the ground with the assurance of a president, if it's Harris, committed to expanding public transportation options as an equity issue to allow people who live on the far south side to get downtown to the Loop for jobs and other kinds of economic opportunities. But we also would also have a president who believes in sort of the fight against climate change, and getting cars off the roads is a big part of that. Now, the cost of the Red Line extension has already ballooned to more than $5 billion. It's very likely that there will be cost overruns somewhere along the lines of this very complicated project. President Harris would at least take the sort of position that the project should be completed. Under President Trump, it's not clear whether the project would even get off the drawing board.
Heather, there was a significant amount of tension between City Hall and the White House, of course, over the arrival of those 47,000 migrants to Chicago, almost all of them sent by Texas Governor Greg Abbott. You know, Vice President Harris has been dubbed the person in charge of the migrant crisis at the border. Do we know how she would handle this issue?
So we don't have a lot of details on that. She's only been the Democratic nominee for about a month. I think it's a month tomorrow, actually. So she's been light on details of her policies and platforms, but she has tried to strike a notably tougher line on immigration than at first President Biden did when he took office. And that has helped reduce the number of people crossing the border and claiming asylum and being allowed to stay in the country while those cases are adjudicated, and many of them have made their way to Chicago. So it is not clear whether Harris will sort of continue that, or if more people come to America and claim asylum, whether she will help cities like Chicago and New York care for them if the Texas governor restarts the buses to cities controlled by Democratic mayors. But again, he might not get any answers, but at least he'll be able to get President Harris or one of her top aides on the phone to at least make the ask. If it's President Trump, I think he's going to have a much harder time making that call.
Okay. Heather Sharone, thanks. And of course, we'll check in with you again during our 10 p.m. broadcast, 10-ish later on after the big show. So joining us now with a look ahead at day two of the big show, the Democratic National Convention, are Karen Freeman Wilson, president and CEO of the Chicago Urban League. She's the former mayor of Gary, Indiana. And Richard Porter, a Chicago attorney who was a member of the Republican National Committee from 2014 until just last month. Thanks to the both of you for joining us. So I want to look ahead to tonight, right? Tonight's keynote speaker will be former President Barack Obama, of course. And the focus of the convention is going to be tonight. We know that their theme is about, you know, pivoting towards a look ahead at the future. From, you know, celebrating President Biden last night to making that look ahead. Karen Freeman Wilson, you know, what do you think, or what do you expect to hear from Barack Obama tonight? Do you think he'll be able to sprinkle some of the magic Obama fairy dust on Kamala Harris?
Well, certainly people are excited about hearing from President Obama. He is popular. He's a native son, and he's home. But at the same time, he is going to talk about the future for the Democratic Party. What does a President Harris look like? Talk about the economy, to talk about the continued investment in infrastructure. That was something that was hard fought. It was something that President Trump promised for 4 years and never delivered, but that President Biden and Vice President Harris were able to deliver. So I think there will be a focus on those things.
Richard Porter, speakers last night spent a lot of time attacking Donald Trump. How do you think that plays, and what do you think we'll hear tonight?
Well, you'll hear more of that, I'm sure. But I think it's interesting that if they're talking about trying to move to the future, that they're focusing on speakers from the past. And I think that so far the convention has really been geared towards motivating the Democratic base as opposed to reaching out to those very few people out there that are undecided at this point.
How do you think they can do that? Who do you think they should be using?
Well, I thought really the best speaker last night was one of Kamala Harris's friends from when she grew up. And she was conveying information about who the vice president is. And I think that was much more valuable than hearing from Hillary Clinton, which she's a controversial figure. She's a person of the past. I don't think that necessarily helps Kamala. But hearing from a friend that can talk in a personal way about some attributes that she had that maybe people weren't aware of, that was a much more positive thing, I think, for the Democrats.
To that point, Karen Freeman Wilson, do you think the party has done enough to define Kamala Harris and her vision?
And thank you for saying Kamala. I know it's not been a lot of practice, but we'll get more of that in the next 4 years. But I think that the party has done quite a bit in helping people to get to know Kamala Harris. You'll see much more. And who better to hear from than to hear it from her on Thursday night. But you'll hear a little bit from each person or from people each night. And I think we'll hear more even tonight.
And we also know that we're going to hear from her husband, the current gentleman, Douglas Emhoff, tonight. Richard Porter, just a few seconds left. What would you like to hear from him about her?
Well, I think I'd like to hear personal stories. I think that's going to be the most effective thing. I think if he steers away from policy, it'll be much more effective. And I think as a spokesperson for the Democratic Party, I don't think he's the right guy, but he's a good spokesman for his wife.
Okay. No, who can say it better than hopefully the person who knows her best?
Right.
Lots to talk about, of course, and I know that the two of you are sticking around with us, so we appreciate that as well. Richard Porter, Karen Freeman Wilson, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Businesses are hoping to score from having the DNC in town. Reporter Joanna Hernandez spoke to some business owners near the area and tells us more. Joanna.
And Brian, there's the businesses that I've been speaking with say that they've been preparing for months, and they're hoping the people who are right now walking into the United Center make a stop in their business.
And coconut cold brew.
It's now turned into a punchline.
My mother used to, she would give us a hard time sometimes, and she would say to us, I don't know what's wrong with you young people. You think you just fell out of a coconut tree?
The quote has gone viral, and the coconut theme is now generating buzz in Chicago.
I saw someone on Twitter say something, and it was retweeted about, like, whoever's near the convention should be doing coconut drinks. I was like, you're right.
Froth is a cocktail-inspired coffee shop in the West Loop, just a 12-minute walk from the United Center. Owner Michael Salvatore is hoping to get foot traffic from the DNC and says they are serving up a special cold brew and coconuts all week.
We only get a week, you know, of this, so we want to really showcase what we can do and who we are and celebrate our staff and the people here in Chicago.
Right next to the United Center, Mexican restaurant Taqueria Rey del Taco has been bracing for this week's impact.
The owner actually went out that same week and he bought a grill so they could have like a fast taco stand and burrito stand right away so people can get in and out.
The family-run business is by the vehicle security checkpoint, a high-traffic area that Carla Franco says the staff is excited to experience.
We've had people from California, from Michigan, too, and then they're saying that they're just coming in, like, to help out around, or even the workers, too, like the security, they've also came in, too.
And we couldn't leave the area without stopping at the famous Billy Goat Tavern along Madison Street.
What else should people try here, the newcomers, who are not from Chicago?
Of course, cheeseburger.
Owner Paul Cianis says they opened this location a year before the 1996 Democratic National Convention.
Just don't have the memory about it, but...
I was going to ask you that. Do you remember what it was like?
No, but we, you know, I think we'll be ready. We do a lot of high-volume events. You know, we have a lot of the United Center events, the Bulls and Blackhawks, concerts. So we are ready to handle crowds.
The Chicago Staple is known to be a political hotspot. Take one look at the wall, and it will take you through memory lane.
We've had presidents, we've had, you know, from both sides come in. So, you know, I think it's a good representation of the city to be a Billy Goat. And, you know, we hope that people from all over the nation can come and experience it.
You guys want to eat?
And since 2008, Billy Goat has been serving a burger they call the Obama Burger, which is a combination of lunch and breakfast. At that time, Obama was running for president and the staff were frequent customers, so they created that burger. And since the Obamas are in town, the owners are hoping they make a stop with Kamala. I mean, how cool would that be, Brandis? Reporting outside the United Center, I send it back to you, Brandis.
It looks delicious, Joanna. Either way. All right, thank you. And after the break, we go back inside the United Center to talk with Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy right after this. Stick around.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Jim and Kay Mabee family, the Polk Brothers Foundation, and the support of these donors.
And now we go back inside the United Center, where our Amanda Beneke is keeping an eye on the floor for us. Amanda.
Yes, I am. I'm joined by U.S. Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy. Thanks so much for joining us. What does it mean to you? I believe were born in Delhi. What does it mean to have a presidential candidate who is of Indian heritage?
Oh, it's so exciting. It's a moment of pride for all Indian Americans. It turns out that her family hails from the exact same part of India that mine does. So there's an additional source of pride.
Okay, yes. Something political in the bloodline.
All right. Mutant gene in my case, but yes, thank you.
You came this afternoon. You had a big fundraiser. I believe tickets were going for like between $10,000 and $100,000. Is that right? How much did you raise? What's this fundraiser for?
Well, people really want to take back the House. They want to make leader Hakeem Jeffries, Speaker Hakeem Jeffries. And so we raised, I think, more than $2 million, a record amount, for the DCCC at an event in Chicago. But it was like a United Nations type of scene in terms of the diversity of the audience. Everybody wants this to happen.
What's at stake for the House?
Look, I think we saw what happens when there's Republican control of the House. You have regular targeting of LGBTQ people. You have regular targeting of reproductive freedoms. And then you have all this nonsense where instead of dealing with everyday issues that people care about, they're dealing with, like, what type of stoves should be in your household. I mean, this is kind of the nonsense that, we don't want to be kind of working on when there's so many pressing issues.
What faith do you have? We've talked a lot about the presidential race, but in terms of the House and flipping it.
I think that there's an excellent chance. I think that it's going to happen. But, obviously, we have to work extremely hard in the remaining 77 days. People joke it's 154 if you don't sleep. We can all sleep on November 6th. But the honest truth is that it's going to be a challenge. But Kamala Harris being at the top of the ticket makes a huge difference in terms of mobilization.
Helps versus had President Biden remained there?
Well, I think that there's just so much energy and enthusiasm. I went and knocked on doors in Wisconsin, took several carloads of Illinois volunteers, and I spoke to the Kenosha County Democrats. It was just complete wall-to-wall people who were bouncing off the walls, and I'm not talking about Tim Walz. But they were just incredibly enthusiastic about Kamala Harris.
Am I right, just to be clear, by the way, those tickets, am I right that it was $10,000 to $100,000?
It was not cheap. It was not cheap. We had a lot of very generous individuals, organizations, unions,
etc. Folks in town with cash to spend for that very purpose.
Yes.
I want to ask, I believe, according to Open Secrets, you have $17 million or so in your campaign fund. There's a lot of folks who believe that you might be eyeing a U.S. Senate seat should Dick Durbin decide not to run again, something that a lot of people think is going to be the case. What can you share?
I'm 1,000% behind Dick Durbin, one of the most outstanding public servants we've ever had. There's no vacancy, and he's I hope he runs for re-election.
So not running, not willing to go there until or unless there is an announcement. What do you plan to do with all that cash? That's a lot.
Well, I'm just... you might have known that I took the silver medal before I won the gold in my quest for public office. I know that with the advent of super PACs and the fact that, for instance, the vaping industry, according to Time Magazine, has a target on my back,
so
along with other
prepared
companies. You have to be ready for anything.
And we will leave it at that. Thank you so much once again. That is U.S. Representative Rajna Krishnamurthy.
Amanda, thank you, and thanks to Congressman Krishnamurthy as well. Okay, a few moments left. We're going to get some final thoughts from our in-studio guests, Karen Freeman Wilson and Richard Porter. One of the things you mentioned, Richard Porter, earlier was, sort of the old-school speakers that you felt like there were at the convention last night. But we also heard from AOC, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from New York, Senator Raphael Warnock from Georgia. And those were some of the more sort of, fiery speeches that we heard in the room last night. Do you think the Democratic Party is giving any future speakers the opportunity? Do you think you're seeing any sort of future emerge?
No, I do think that they're fiery, and I think they're full of life. AOC just lights up the room when she speaks. I mean, it's really terrific. But she speaks to a certain segment of the population. They're all Democrats already. Nobody who's a moderate is going with AOC. She's a socialist. So, and the same thing with the senator from Georgia. So I think the reality is they're talking to their base. They're not putting people up there. They're communicating important information about who Kamala is and about what the future of the Democratic Party is going to be. It really is just, they're trying to steal some words from the Republicans, talking about freedom. here Raja was talking about stoves. The Democrats want to take away your choice of a gas stove. And so, that's not promoting freedom. And so I think they're so far left that they're communicating with the folks and trying to mobilize the people that are excited about being on the left, not necessarily reaching out to the people that are in the middle.
45 seconds left. Karen Freeman Wilson.
I think that you heard from both AOC and Senator Warnock the fact that we are so much more alike than different. And I think that matters. And you'll hear more of that there's been such a division and an effort to divide. When you hear them talk about their roots, their history, the fact that she was a waitress, bartender, the fact that his father was a junk man and a preacher, that's something that we can all identify with as we come from our roots.
Okay. It'll be fun to watch the rest of the evening and see what happens. We'll see you back here at 10, both of you. So thank you so much for joining us for now. And that is our show for now. Be sure to join us for more live coverage tonight after the convention around 10 or so as we break down day two of the Democratic National Convention. In the meantime, be sure to check out our website for a live blog covering the very latest from the convention. And stay tuned for convention coverage from our friends at the PBS NewsHour. Now, for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Brandis Friedman. Thanks for watching. Stay healthy and safe. We'll see you at 10-ish.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a personal injury law firm dedicated to preserving the dignity and rights of all individuals.